This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. Spring bottling date is fast approaching. They're very excited about their white wine spring release, Pinot Gris The Shining Armor. Always a crowd favorite. Recent winner of a gold medal at the Okanagan Best of Varietal Awards. That new release is going to be one of the hits of the summer. And of course, their crowd favorite, Tempest Ortega. Just a note that a couple of mix and match sales are on. They're slowly opening the tasting room up. Currently Wednesday to Saturday, 12 to 4. Starting in April, it'll expand to 5 days a week from 10 to 5, and live music will start in April, Saturdays only. You can find all the details at EnricoWinery.com. His name is Michael Barche. It's always easier to introduce you just by your name and leave it at that. I'm sure you drive the tractor. I know you're the warehouse manager because you know how much stock you have left or not available. Thank you for this shipment that you've sent my way. First of all, it was prompt and really nice, and I had the pleasure of tasting my way through it in the middle of the windstorm. So I didn't care if the power went out. I was okay. So I meant to ask you about how you were and how your neighbors are and how the area is. How's the basic Black Sage Road of South Okanagan doing?
Yeah, everything seems fine. It's well, as you know, the vineyard doesn't care about a pandemic.
Yep.
We're about to go through bud burst probably in about, I guess it's about 10 days from now, 10 to 15 days from now. It's a typical spring, windy as hell right now. But it's been a very typical, nice warm spring, beautiful weather. And my neighbors, all the wineries that are along here were, it's business as usual. We get together and exaggerate to each other, tell a few lies, and have coffee. It's out in the field, and everything's quite normal. It's good.
Do you notice any? I mean, we're coming up to Easter. Do you notice any things around you that we would not notice? Things like, well, you mentioned bud break, but certain things growing, certain things not growing. Do you notice anything that would resemble any sort of climate change for you? Is it heat units?
No, actually, I can't. The only thing of note on that to me that I just noticed was, our neighbor's magnolia tree. And anybody that's listening knows magnolias have a magnificent bloom. And this is when they burst their buds, it goes straight into bloom.
Yeah.
And they went, the neighbor's magnolia tree went into bloom. It was incredible. It was magnificent. And that night a frost hit, and that was the end of it. And it's just heartbreaking to see something like that. But you know what? That happens probably, every third year anyways.
Sure.
Always has.
Okay.
So I'm that's just the way it is. That's growing.
We're talking Barche Brothers Wines, friends, Black Sage Road, South Okanagan, between Oliver and Osoyoos, like one of the great plots of land in any valley, anywhere in the wine world. And there are new releases coming your way, and it's part of my passion and delight to be able to talk to Michael about his wines that he's sent and are being offered on offer, frankly. The whole philosophy that you have, which I embrace now, and now I understand it. When you first told me, I didn't quite understand. Now I understand less is more. Less is more. Can you apply that to common sense so I can make sense of it to the audience?
I hope so. I'll tell you what comes to my mind when you talk about that is, this is a wine that I had last night. I won't say the name. It was a very nice wine, but it wasn't my style. But it's absolutely legitimate and valid, the style. But this wine, it was almost ponderous. It was almost a chore to drink in the sense that it was big. It was huge. It had these cascading gobs of brand new oak flavor and fruit that was exploding. And it wasn't sweet, but it tasted sweet. And it tasted sweet just because of, because of the weight of the wine and the glycerol in it. And, that type of wine would do extremely well in a competition because it's going to stand out. It's going to, be an outlier on the weight end. But in the end, this is when it was time for a second glass, I went and opened, a bottle of Gamay Noir, from Beaujolais, and a bottle of Morgon. And my God, was that good. It was so refreshing. It was light. It was probably about, a fifth of the price of the first bottle that I had. And it was just so pleasant. It was so delicious and refreshing and fresh. Everything that I love about, well, about the wines,
About
the style
what?
of wines that I like to drink anyways.
And I ask you to go through that simply because it will give the audience, wine fans, a sense of what they can expect out of the bottle at Bartier Brothers, because you less is more. That's exact. There's no cascading gobs of anything.
It's what we try for, and it's, I mean, it's the style of wine that we drink at home, and I think that it's an admirable style.
This is going to be a two-parter, Michael. I can see it coming, and it's going to go like this. The rosé that you sent my way is the single most. I was going to say, I never try to work in absolutes with you. I was going to say the single most important wine that you make, simply because you make a lot of it and it sells out and puts money in the pocket so that you can do other things. Am I right with that?
Yeah, I mean, commercially, it is certainly our most important wine. We make and sell more of that than anything else. And going back to the less is more, that again, that's a style of wine that I love to drink. And I go through an inhuman amount of that wine in my household, and I make no apologies for it. It's very easy to drink, but
Strangely, so do we.
but there's a winemaking style or a winemaking methodology for a lot of wineries, and it's called high grading or low grading, and this is taking your wines and applying them to the brand, according to their value. And of course, you want your best wines to go into your highest value wines, your most expensive wines. And this is an indication of my commercial abilities or my business sense is, at the beginning of the blending session, the beginning of the blending season, we start with a rosé. You always start with a rosé, and we make the best possible rosé that we can. And some red wine goes into that, some rosé wine goes into that, some white wine goes into that. But we make sure that all of the holes that are in the wine are going to be filled. And we use some really expensive wine to be able to do that.
Sure.
But it's worthwhile because, again, this is our most important wine to our business and to our reputation as well. A lot of people have been introduced to our winery, because of that rosé, because we do make a fair bit of it.
You do. I know that the blend would change season to season, obviously. The last numbers I had were 6% Merlot, Chardonnay 56, and Gewürztraminer 42, or something like that. Just one thing.
I'll take your word on
All right, I know the
that.
numbers might change, but the Merlot would be there for A, color, and B, for nose. What does that 6% add?
Well, it adds tannin. And I don't know if a lot of people appreciate or understand just how important tannin is to rosé wine. At least it is to me. And tannin, of course, is that drying, astringent sensation that you get on your tongue, in
In
your
the mouth,
gums,
exactly.
in your mouth, from red wine, from a particularly young or tannic red wine. And a little bit, just a kiss of that tannin on a rosé is so important. I personally, I think that it's what defines, or one of the most important things that define a rosé, just as much as the color defines a rosé. That little kiss of tannin is incredibly important. And this is what the Merlot brings
Wow. Strawberry and
to it.
melon, floral notes, just. And here's the thing, I got to explain this to myself and to the audience. This is a rosé we're talking about. There's a lot of rosés out there that you can explain in 15 seconds and then you drink it all. Like it's a literally a throwaway, a drive-through wine. Not a bad thing. That's
No.
one of the roles that rosé plays. But we've been talking about yours or rosé for 5 to 6 to 7 minutes. It's a rosé. It's a freaking rosé. It's an easy wine to drink, but there's complexity to it, and you might want to think about what it is that you're putting in your mouth.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah.
And you decided, and of course, you decided to put it in a Riesling bottle.
Yeah, well, you know what? That Riesling bottle, or the, you know, what we call in the industry, we call it the Hawk bottle. I get a Pavlovian response every time I see one of those bottles. Seriously, that bottle contains refreshment. So I, you know, really, I love that style of bottle, that shape of bottle. It's, you know, tall and slim. And elegant. It to me, it looks refreshing. It looks delicious to me.
Winemaker, owner, tractor driver, greeter when asked. His yeah. people skills are legendary. And the warehouse manager, Michael Barche from Barche Brothers, is on the line with me. And we'll be back with part two in a moment. But it's not just any part two. We're going to talk about the Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre, the GSM 2019, the Merlot 2019, which comes out in May, and then the legendary Orchard Row, formerly their house wine, now something we can buy. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan.
Yeah.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. Spring bottling date is fast approaching. They're very excited about their white wine spring release, Pinot Gris, The Shining Armor. Always a crowd favorite, recent winner of a gold medal at the Okanagan Best of Varietal Awards. That new release is going to be one of the hits of the summer. And of course, their crowd favorite, Tempest Ortega. Just a note that a couple of mix and match sales are on. They're slowly opening the tasting room up. Currently Wednesday to Saturday, 12 to 4. Starting in April, it'll expand to 5 days a week from 10 to 5. And live music will start in April, Saturdays only. You can find all the details at EnricoWinery.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Mooncursor. Lots of new wines coming, which is a good thing, since they've sold out of everything but a little bit of Dead of the Night and the award-winning Tariga Nationale. The new wines will be available for sale in the tasting room and online by mid to late April. Mooncursor will continue with appointment-only tastings, but will accommodate walk-in customers whenever possible. Because of the expected lower-than-normal yields of 2019, they will have less wine for sale this year than they normally would, and they're encouraging everyone, including the club members, to stock up now rather than later. All the details at mooncursor.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. He is Michael Barche from Barche Brothers. If you can't talk to his brother, you got to talk to Michael, and you get things right. Actually, I would love to do an interview with your brother.
You know what? I guarantee he will take you up on that.
Okay.
You should interview Don.
Now, I have the reds just at my left ankle here in close proximity because that's important. There's the GSM, there's the Merlot, and there's the Orchard Row. And I know it's important that these are tasted in the correct order. At least to you, it's important that they might be tasted in the correct order. And
actually, I dispute that.
Okay. You can go in any order?
Any order at all.
Okay.
Good then wine tastes good.
Then I'm going to start, watch this. I'm going to start with Orchard Row. You know why? Because there's Gamay in there.
Oh, fantastic.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love the Orchard Row. And the story behind Orchard Row, if I'm not mistaken, is it's literally, you'll explain. I mean, it's all of the plantings. It's one row, and it was your house wine for a while until somebody convinced you to bottle it.
We have this one. I mean, it's an endless row. It goes forever. It separates our property from the orchard next door to us, mm-hmm. and everything that was planted in this row was left over from previous plantings. You know, both our vineyard and other vineyards.
Wow.
So you know, we have Cabernet Franc. There's Merlot. There's Cabernet Sauvignon. There's Pinot Noir. There's Chardonnay. There's Semillon, and anyways, I mean, we couldn't really commercially bottle that. We didn't think, and we're certainly not going to waste those grapes. And we just started making our own house wine. It was, you know, quite literally a home winemaking project for us. You know, albeit with some really good winemaking equipment, and you know, and a fully equipped laboratory. But But we made that wine for several years, and it was just our house wine. It was just what we poured at home, and it was delicious. And enough people tried it. Our friends and colleagues said, "Wow, you really have to commercialize this, because this is something good." It wasn't put together by design, as far as that blend, but it really worked out well.
Okay.
And, so that's the Orchard Row.
Let me just see. So the numbers that I have here are of 17% Cab Franc, 16% Merlot, 33% Gamay, and 33% Pinot Noir. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes about. Okay. Well, I'm going to take your word for it. I have too many numbers.
Okay, but let me give you
around upstairs here. Yeah?
I'm not exactly great with my numbers either. But listen to this: 17 and 16 makes 33%. That's Cab Franc and Merlot. The Gamay is 33. The Pinot Noir is 33. That's 99. There's 1% missing that you haven't accounted for.
That's Bill Gates. It's a rounding error on Microsoft Excel.
Okay. And 135, 134 cases, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Now, is this, I love my field blends, right? I love my field blends. And you and I have disagreed on field blends, but is this a row blend? In other words, are all of these grapes growing together and you crush them together?
Yes, they are. And now, having said that, there's an adjunct in there at the end. We are not going to put out something that has any holes. Like if there's a wine that's not full and complete, we're going to help it out some way.
Sure.
And in that particular vintage, we used some Gamay Noir from a vintage, a contract vintage that we have to complete that hole, to make sure that the wine was absolutely complete and the best possible wine that we could put out there.
It is a beautiful wine. It comes out in June, if you didn't already know, Michael.
Good to know.
And the cool thing is that there's a little sticker on the bottom of the brand or on the back label, Style Brands, availability at the winery, which means it's only available through you?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. It's such a small production that there's no point in trying to get it out to liquor stores or to restaurants. We just wouldn't have enough to supply the initial shipment, let alone ongoing shipment.
What's your price point on Orchard Row?
It's somewhere up around $35, I think, $35,
$36. $36.99. Way to go.
Yeah. There we go.
There you go.
I try hard.
It is. And
all these questions, it's difficult.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I know it's early. Here's the thing. I love the nose on it. I love the Gamay's place in this wine. I'm becoming a serious Gamay hound, and this has become one of my go-to bottles of wine. Well done.
Oh, good. Less is more.
Less is more. So then the Grenache Syrah Mourvèdre 2019 comes out in April 2021. He said, reaching for the bottle and picking up the Merlot. By the way, I would note that the Bartier Brothers 2019 Grenache Syrah Mourvèdre is half consumed. There was no tasting, no spitting, no none of that. Just it was... It went with an incredible steak and kidney pie.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Well done.
Thank you. 275 cases. The price point on the back is $41.99. Let's explain that, because there are some people out there going, there's no freaking way I'm paying $41 for a BC Red. Help me out there, will you?
Those days are gone, actually.
Yeah.
we don't seem to have any issues with it. I'll tell you the math from our end on it, without trying to sound like I'm justifying. it's purely cost of production. We buy these grapes. It comes from a vineyard which is next door to us, and they're expensive grapes to grow. The Grenache and the Mourvèdre specifically are what is grown at the neighbor's vineyard, and those are really difficult grapes to grow. I actually planted this vineyard a long time ago when I was, if you recall, this is in fact when I first met you. I think I was a winemaker at Road 13 Winery,
mm-hmm.
and I planted it then, and subsequently, the first winter of those plantings died, all of them, and then it was replanted, and you know, sometime after that I ended up going to start my own winery. But the short of it is that it's very difficult to grow and ripen Grenache and Mourvèdre in our climate and in our position on the earth. So, you know, the end of it is that they're very expensive grapes for us to purchase. I'm glad that I do purchase them because I love the wine.
Oh, yes. And you can see pride in this bottle. I'm telling you.
Oh, good.
you can see the pride in this bottle. This is really, really, really cool.
It's a funny one for us. Every year that I get it, I think, God, I'm not quite happy with these grapes. I'm not quite happy with how the fermentation goes. And then in the end, it just goes through this metamorphosis, you know, about 6 or 8 months in the barrels. And then I accept it. It's good.
And the metamorphosis in the bottle, if you give it a couple of years, then what?
Well, I think like any wine that's, you know, that has structure to it, right? And when I talk about structure, I'm talking about acidity and tannins, it's going to do well. And it does. It develops, it evolves in the bottle. And what happens is you get this trade-off between, you know, these fruit characters and what I call the caramelization of the fruit. So, you know, one goes up and the other comes down. And that caramelization certainly appears after, you know, a couple of years in the bottle. And it's quite... It's worthwhile, you know.
Could I describe it as yummy? Is that okay?
I'll accept that.
Thank you. And what are the percentages? Is it third, third, third?
Oh gosh! Again, back to that my earlier statement: too many vintages, too many numbers tumbling around upstairs here. But my guess is offhand, it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 40, 40, 20, or something like that.
Okay.
35, 35, 30.
Okay. 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 And it will sell out, friends. As a matter of fact, I'm telling you now, get your hands on these wines because they will sell out. Simple as that. Okay. And one more thing. There's Merlot going to be released by Bartier Brothers 2019. There better be. It comes out in May. There's quite a few cases involved. How many?
Actually, we were down this vintage. In fact, I'm quite disappointed by our production on it. We had a real tough winter kill the previous winter. In the winter of 2019. Here's a long story there. But the 2019 Merlot, I think I don't think we even made 400 cases of
that.
No,
just below 400.
Which is quite small for such a large block.
But you are. I mean, we will remind folks that Merlot in the South Okanagan likes it there. It is an absolutely beautiful place to grow Merlot, to bring it along. And if you have a winemaker who loves Merlot as much as you do, it's going to be a great bottle of Merlot. And so it comes out in May 2019. Looking at this price point, you're going to love this too. $22.99 for this incredible bottle of Merlot from Bartier Brothers. I sounded like I'm a huckster. I sound like I'm selling this. I'm like a...
But wait, there's more.
yes, there is. I love this bottle. And I ask the same question. If you let this Merlot sit around for a couple of years, what expression does it give you once you finally open it?
Well, it certainly won't go bad. This wine will age very nicely. And, you know, you heard it here. And that's my personal guarantee. It will. This may be my favorite vintage of the Merlot that we've ever made. And this, you know, this is an old trope in the wine industry. You know, what's the best vintage that you've ever made? What's the vintage that we have for sale right now?
That's right. That's right.
But in this particular case, this really is my favorite Merlot. And I'll tell you why. And we've touched on this a little bit about the style of wines that I like, you know, the less is more and a bit more elegance and a little bit less weight. But are you familiar with the term claret? And, you know, claret is Bordeaux red wine.
Yes.
But claret, it's more than that. It almost refers back to an old fashioned style of Bordeaux red wine. And, you know, this is Bordeaux red wine, which is a little bit on the lean side. And, you know, it has these fantastic minerally, like graphite characters on you know, on the aroma and on the palate, and they're so well suited to go with your dinner, and they're so delicious to have because they're refreshing. I admire old fashioned, you know, old Bordeaux claret, and,
blueberry, cherry on the nose, a wet stone kind of flinty mouthfeel. Oh,
yeah,
it's so good.
This so that to me is the standard, and we're certainly not trying to make that, because we're dealt with the fruit that we farm, and that's what we make. But I am continuously, every time I try this 2019 Merlot, I'm transported. It evokes to me old style claret, and I really like that a lot.
And take notice, so, wine fans. Last year they made 941 cases. This year, because of the growing year, 394. If you're going to get it now. Get it as soon as you can, and join the wine club, right?
If you can get by the membership committee, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. And there is one more project coming. Well, it's called Project B, the Boutenote six-pack. Can you explain that one?
I'm glad that you brought this up, yeah. So a few years ago, I was introduced to a winemaker, a colleague of mine from France, Eric Monin, and his colleague here. You know, Boutenot is a pretty big French winery, and they have projects all around the world. And through their country manager in Canada, Megan Cole, I was introduced to Eric. We've made a wine together, and this is Boutenot's wine. Boutenot owns this wine, and, you know, effectively they hired me to make it, but it's I feel like much more than an employee, in the sense that they listen to me, they trust me, and they've trusted me, you know, to make this wine for them. And it's been a very gratifying and very rewarding project intellectually, and it's fun too. So anyways, we've made the Sauvignon Blanc with Boutenot. It's called Project B. You know, the very famous winery from the south of France, Boutenot, is it's their wine, and I'm very privileged and very honored to be part of it.
Wow. So Sauvignon Blanc, is a Semillon in there, or is a Semillon a single release?
Yeah, there's a small amount of Semillon in there as well. I can't remember. I think it's like 3 or 4%.
And will we see it here, or will it be sold in Europe?
The first vintage, which is a 2019, was only sold in Canada. It was sold in several provinces across Canada. And then the 2020, which will be released probably in about 2 months or so, is going to be... I know that they have some export designs on that as well. Export, you know, to other countries around the world, probably, and certainly specifically Europe. I would imagine that the UK would be a prime market for this.
Could you see yourself doing other projects like this?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm not, where I hesitate there is, I'm not sure that there are other projects like this to be done. And we'll continue to make this wine with Boutenot. Well, we'll see what else comes
well
along.
Done.
But it's been a really good project.
Well done. All right, let's review here from the top, if you can, please, sir. Michael Barger, the rosé available now comes in, and we didn't do this, $17.99, friends, for this incredible rosé. The Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre comes out in April, is $41.99, and damn well worth it. The Merlot 2019 comes out in May, it's $22.99, and... Orchard Row 2019 is $36.99. It comes out in June, and there you have it. He is still Michael Barche.
Yeah, you know more than I do about my wines.
I know I can't get my hands on them some days. I know that. I love what you do, and I like your singular purpose. As a matter of fact, I love the whole idea of less is more. I'm a less is more kind of guy, and I'm with you. Totally, 100% on that. Take care of yourself. And once again, there is a wine club, correct?
There is. Just go to BartierBros.com. There we go.
Okay. And when is that tasting room open?
We're going to open this weekend, the Easter long weekend, and it'll be open for, you know, through until well into the fall. And I think I'm hopeful that everything will go normally. And of course, we're subject, like the rest of the world is right now, to public health orders and just good practices and responsibility, you know, social responsibility. So we're hopeful that things get back to normal someday soon here.
Well, I get my shot on Easter Sunday, high noon. So I'm good. How
good
about
for
you?
You.
When do you get your shots?
Last time I checked, there were about 28 million Canadians ahead of me. I'm not on the short list yet, I'm afraid.
Roll up your left sleeve and get at it. Thank you for this, Michael. I appreciate it very much.
Terry, thank you very much. It's always nice to talk to you.
All of the details can be found at tastingroomradio.com, which can be found at mulliganstew.ca. All the details, all the price points, all the nice little bottle shots, and a really handsome shot of the Barche brothers together. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Moon Cursor. Lots of new wines coming, which is a good thing, since they've sold out of everything but a little bit of Dead of the Night and the award-winning Tariga Nacional. The new wines will be available for sale in the tasting room and online by mid to late April. Moon Cursor will continue with appointment-only tastings, but will accommodate walk-in customers whenever possible. Because of the expected lower-than-normal yields of 2019, they will have less wine for sale this year than they normally would, and they're encouraging everyone, including the club members, to stock up now rather than later. All the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open for spring, Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the bistro at Hillside Winery is also open, with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours, Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service, grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of six or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan. And this is Tasting Room Radio, year 16. We started in a studio in a barn on the Naramata Bench, and we're still talking about wines, specifically and more importantly, more focused on BC wines, because the BC wine industry has boomed. And I have Mark Hopley from Hester Creek on the line, as we promised at the start of the show. Hello, Mark.
Terry, how are you today?
I'm very well. Let me see. Do you want to talk about Pinot Gris Viognier or the Trebbiano?
Sure.
Or do you want to talk about elk hair caddis, woolly buggers?
I think we'll skip the elk hair caddis. We'll save that for another day.
Because Laurie Pike told me that you have a podcast, a fly fishing podcast, and I went there and I joined up. I'm now a follower.
Wow, I appreciate it. So I listen to yours all the time. Thank you for that. But no, we've got some new releases on the Golden Mile Bench, Terry, and we're pretty stoked about it. We've got the new Pinot Gris Viognier from 2020 is available at Save-On Foods across British Columbia, and really excited about the wines this year. 2020 was just a fabulous year.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because people standing there looking at rows and rows, hundreds of bottles of wine.
Right.
They don't have much to go by. They have familiarity. They see labels. Certainly they would see Hester Creek. They would know Hester Creek. But what I'd like for them to know is when it's an exceptional year, and 2020, as bad as it was to human beings and the world, was a sensational year for your vines. What went right?
Well, I'll tell you what. It was basically a long growing season. It started out a little cooler, but we got a lot of heat. If you remember, September and early October was beautiful. Like we were hitting some really nice highs. Got lots of sunshine, very little rain, and so basically what that led to was a long ripening season. So anytime, Terry, we can go from bud break through to harvest, the longer that kind of gap, in my mind, the more intense the flavors. And 2020 was an amazing vintage. Me personally, if I had to pick 2 years, and I've been doing this 20 years now, I'd say 2014 and 2020. Lots of color too in the reds, right? So the only anomaly was we had a little bit of an early snow event at the end of October, which was unusual. Fortunately, most of the grapes were in, but I think what you're going to see from the vintage as a whole is lots of intense color, lots of vibrant fruit, in the reds, and in the whites, some nice acidity, which definitely lends itself to pairing with food very well.
And of course, we're all hearing about lower crop yields.
Yeah, well, that, you know what, that was key. So as most people know, the less fruit you're hanging, the more intense the flavors, because those vines have more to give. And at the end of the day, it's farming, right? So we're trying to, the less fruit that's hanging, the more the flavor is going to really pop, if that makes sense.
How many cases of Pinot Gris Viognier?
That's a Savon exclusive. It's probably in and around 2,400, 2,500 cases.
Oh, lots. Okay, good. And it's a Savon exclusive?
Yes, it is. So it's what it is the reason we do this wine, we partnered up with Savon with this wine. It's, if you see it in their store shelves, it's that popping, vibrant Savon green.
Sure.
It's 33% Viognier, the remainder Pinot Gris. So the Pinot Gris really brings the structure, and the Viognier just brings that real kind of popping fruit.
It gives me the nose. It gives me a nose. It's just incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Have you got it in front of you right now?
I do have it. No, there's nothing left in the bottle, sir. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? We had it with some salmon. It was fantastic. Honeysuckle and peach, and it's unoaked, which helps. Just a lot of care taken. You can tell. It's beautifully crafted. The 2020 Pinot Gris Viognier from Hester Creek. As Mark was saying, it's two-thirds Pinot Gris and one-third Viognier, two of my favorites. And I actually lean towards Viognier. I'm a crazy Viognier fan, you know.
I can relate to that. I really love Viognier as a varietal. It's something I think that does very well in the Okanagan. And on the Golden Mile bench here at Hester Creek, we're using that in a lot of our blends now. And it only made sense to blend it with Pinot Gris, another one of our staples.
If you're nowhere near a Savon food, because they can't build them everywhere, can they order from the winery?
Yeah, 100%. And that's something we've really seen in the past few years. The business has been very fluid. A lot of things changing, obviously. And the direct-to-consumer business has really taken off. So, yes, they can definitely find most of our wines through our wine club. But that one we select basically for Savon, but you can definitely... If you go to our website, EsserCreek.com, you'll find a vast selection of our wines through Wine Club.
From the Golden Mile, he is Mark Hopley, and he is the winemaker at Hester Creek. Moving on to the second white that you sent, the 2020 Trebbiano. Have you at any time had a chance to exchange verbs and words with Joe Busnardo, who was the original owner and who planted those and brought those Trebbiano grapes to the Okanagan?
I have not, but I will tell you that he's passed away now, but his good friend Al that lives at the bottom, or did live at the bottom of the property on Road 8, told me a lot about him and shared a lot of good stories. And you know what? We are reaping the rewards of what Joe planted on this property, because the wine you're speaking about, Terry, the 2020 Trebbiano, those vines are, you know, 52 going on 53 years old, so planted in 1968. You want to talk about low crop. I mean, Trebbiano is a fairly, it crops usually quite heavily, but older vines, less fruit, more intense flavors. And that's basically what we do on that wine. It really is a wine that is a flagship for Hester Creek. It's a very limited commodity. We only have so much to go around, and it's a variety that does really well on the Golden Mile bench too, because it does well in the Mediterranean climate, so
sure.
It can handle a little bit of warmth, which a lot of white wines can't. For me, it's more of a fruit driven wine towards more of a Riesling style in my mind. And you know, you talk about Viognier can be in that vein too, because it's got that real floral. We went to a seminar some years ago at the Vancouver Wine Show, and it was strictly on Trebbiano. And they talk about yellow. They talk about yellow flowers, yellow melon, just a real vibrant grape. And the nice thing about it is it has lots of acidity naturally. So I think it's a very unique product. No one else, to my knowledge, is making a straight varietal out of Trebbiano. You're not going to see it a lot of places. So... you know, get it before it's gone, because it's a wine that doesn't hang around that long. Sure.
If you were in Italy, you could do some great pasta dishes with this, but you'd have some shrimp in there. You'd have some fish dishes. It is so good with certain foods, certain pairings. What's your favorite pairing, actually, with Trebbiano?
You know, for me, I just like it with, you mentioned pasta, like any type of pasta dishes with a little bit of cream sauce, some fresh salads. It's nice with a little bit of cheese. We just so you know too, it's a little lower in alcohol this year. So we've made some moves a little bit in winemaking. You know, we're trying to give you the wines that Hester Creek has been known to make for years. You know, that you've come to know and love, but we're also trying to move the needle a little bit on wines like this in that we're trying to harvest them a little earlier, get a little lower pH, a little more vibrant acidity, make them a little more food friendly. That's kind of the direction we've been going with the white wine.
Trebbiano, my friends, Trebbiano grown in the Okanagan, at Hester Creek. If you like your, citrus notes and honey, floral, and a minerality and a beautiful crispness, this is the wine for you. How many cases, Mark?
We did about 14,000 liters of that. So it was down. Production was down a little bit this year because you alluded to that earlier. It was a lighter crop this year. So unfortunately, there wasn't quite as much to go around. So I'd recommend picking that one up fairly early. And it's rare that that one makes it to wine festival in the fall, and I don't see that happening this time around.
Can I get that in cases?
Around 1,500 cases.
Around 1,500 cases, okay. So, Mark, what's the price on the Pinot Gris Viognier?
Pinot Gris Viognier retails for $16.99.
And, Mark, people are going to want to know, A, how to find this Trebbiano, the 2020, and what the price is. What's the price?
The price is $22.99
right.
plus tax.
And is it also a save-on special, or can we find it in our store?
You can find that at select stores across the province. You can find it online at HesterCreek.com, or if you happen to be in the Okanagan, obviously through our wine shop. But it is available at select LRSs also and fine dining.
Okay. So will you stick around for a bit, and we'll talk about the judge and other events coming up at Hester Creek?
Sounds good.
Okay. I'm Jerry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. Our guest is Mark Hopley, the winemaker at Hester Creek on the Golden Mile. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open for spring, Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the Bistro at Hillside Winery is also open, with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service, grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the Bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of six or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. And since they've opened the new Crown and Thieves, it's been a glorious, sheer and utter madness. The success has seen them already sell out of four wines, The Scoundrel Punch, Chenin Blanc, Gewürztraminer, and Broken Wing Merlot. But luckily, the latest bottling run has replenished the stock, with new vintages of Winemaker's Wench, Mr. Higginbotham Chardonnay, the new Little Nipper Pinot Gris, and the brand new Pinky Blinders Rosé. The wine club has been selling like crazy, and an obvious benefit is one active membership means you are a VIP at all of their locations. All the details at thehatchwines.com. This is the Easter weekend edition of Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and our guest is Mark Hopley, the winemaker at Hester Creek. And he took us through the Pinot Gris Viognier and the Trebbiano, which are just now coming out and ready to go, ready for anything you want to put in front of you. Now, before I forget, Mark, first of all, I know that you like fly fishing. We talked about that. Do you get out very often?
Yeah, I do. Not obviously during harvest, but that's something that's near and dear to my heart.
Okay.
It's a nice way to kind of, you know, you spend a lot of time at the winery. We all work hard at what we do, and it's nice to kind of get out on the odd weekend and kind of,
Are you a lake fly fisherman or a river?
Yeah, primarily still water.
Okay.
That's kind of where my passion lies.
Floating, sinking.
I know you.
Floating, sinking.
I'm all about the floating line.
Favorite fly?
Chronomid, black chronomid, red rib, white bead on an indicator.
Wow. So you just sit there. You just stare at the water.
that's what I do. With a nice glass of Judge in hand.
Nice. Okay, let's talk about the Judge, because it's one of my all-time favorite Bordeaux blends from anywhere. And I always have one bottle. I very grudgingly give it up, and then I realize it's wine. You're supposed to drink it. When does the judge come out this year?
So the judge will be, we're actually bottling it in about a month's time, and we usually release them right around Canada Day. So let's say the end of June is when the new vintage of the judge comes out. And this year it'll be the 2018. So for those that aren't familiar with it, it's our Bordeaux-style blend that we do exclusively Golden Mile fruit. We're talking Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc. And those Merlot vines are very old, some of them from the original planting on the property. So, you know, it's a wine that gets a lot of TLC, just our best oak barrels. It's cropped very low. We spend a lot of time sorting it. And, you know, we try to leave it on the skins, obviously, to extract a lot more flavors and tannins, which help in the aging process.
Merlot driven?
What, that's right. Yes, it is Merlot driven. Yeah. So we have the Garland, which is named for Kirk Garland, our owner.
Right.
And that is more of a cab driven Bordeaux style, and the Judge is more Merlot driven. So,
right.
It's been around since I believe 2008, and it's a wine that you know, we do quite well with, and we're very proud of.
Okay. I see that you're releasing two new sparkling wines down the road. The second vintage, well, I'll let you, Tiamo, one of them?
Yes, so Tiamo is our Prosecco-style wine. So our first vintage was last year. We made just over 300 cases. It sold out in 27 days. So we went, oh, wait a minute here, maybe we need to make a little more of that. So this year, the production increased to about triple that. So basically what the wine is, Jerry, is Pinot Gris driven as a base, but it's got a little bit of Semillon for some nice acidity, some Gewurztraminer, and just a splash of Schoenberger. So it's very fruit driven wine, something to you can drink basically with any celebration. It's a great great wine, great way to start the meal.
Schoenberger for the nose.
Yeah, exactly. Just a little bit. A little bit goes a long way with that variety.
Now, we're way ahead of this Tiamo. It's coming out by summer.
Well, we bottled it yesterday, so this is really timely. So now we're at Easter weekend, so that wine will be released in early May. I believe it's May 7th is the date it'll be available.
And who's Prosecco style? Because, you know, the Italians, each region has a different type of Prosecco.
Well, I'd say this is uniquely Okanagan. a lot of our vines on the property, as you know, have Italian roots. So, but we tried to make this because you mentioned we have two sparklings coming out. Another one that, this one's kind of, keep this one under your hat, but I guess it's out now. We've got an old vines brut. So we're doing a method traditional sparkling as well, made from 100% old vines Pinot Blanc. From the Golden Mile bench. So that's coming out also along with the Prosecco in early May.
Early May. Way to go. Mm-hmm. And the new vintage of the Judge is coming out in June. All right, we got that done. How's the restaurant doing with all of the ups and downs, the circuit breakers?
Well, you know what? They're doing really well. They're having, it's busy, right? So right now, obviously, we're in this they call it a circuit breaker. So we've had some new things happen, but they still have their full menu because we have a patio. We're blessed to have two big patios here at the facility at Hester Creek. And so Terrafina is still offering their full menu for takeout. They're like 12:30 to 4, Wednesday through Sunday. Chef Adair Scott is serving up some amazing dishes as he and his staff always do. But we can space out on the patio, right? So, and then, of course, here at the winery, at the wine shop, Hester Creek, we have a lot of times in the summer, we have live music. So if you've been here, you know we have that big patio. So it's a nice place where we can space out. And it's still, you know, business as usual at in the winery. You know, so hopefully let's see what happens after these 3 weeks. And maybe we'll get back to indoor dining. But right now it's all about the patio. And hopefully the weather will cooperate. As I'm looking out the window right now, it's beautiful sunshine here.
Okay.
On the Golden Mile bench.
I'm going to test your DJ skills because I know you have some radio history with you. This is the rapid round now. I'm going to ask you, because Chef has not joined us, so I'm going to ask you to do two things, because you're the winemaker and you hang around Terrafino, and you see some of the food pairings go by. I'm going to mention the wine. I'm going to ask you for your favorite food pairing and your favorite band or music pairing. You ready? Here we go. The 2020 Pinot Gris Viognier.
I think I would go with the truffle potato pizza and a little Led Zeppelin.
The 2020 Trebbiano.
I would go with a charcuterie platter. And ooh, that's a tough one on the music scene. I'm kind of drawing a blank on that. Let's go with something like Eric Church.
Okay, Eric Church. All right, how about the two sparkling wines, the second vintage of Tiamo when it comes out? What would you pair with it, and what band would you play?
Well, that one's a tough one. That could go a lot of ways. I think it's got to be classical music, doesn't it? I mean, I think that
no,
could use a little.
No, it doesn't.
Start.
No, I already you have your. I've got your artist. Don't worry about your artist. I'll slide it to you. You tell me what you'd pair the Tiamo with.
I would say something like a fresh soup. Fresh soup from Chef Adair.
Okay, soup. And the music pairing?
Music pairing would be...
I got one.
Okay, talk to me.
Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé with the bubble. I like
with
it.
With the bubbles.
I like it.
Okay.
That's perfect.
And how about the Old Vine Brut? What would you pair?
You know what? How about a little truffle-infused popcorn?
I love it.
I'm all about that with the Old Vines. You get into those method classic traditional sparkling wines. I think buttery popcorn's a good way to go.
And I'm going to join you on the music. I'm going to say the new album by Willie Nelson is doing like Sinatra standards, but it's Willie Nelson.
Right.
It's Willie's voice. So who would you pair this Old Vine Brut with?
Well, I did have the new Willie Nelson album. You
know? A true old vine, an old vine. Way to go. And finally, the judge. What's your favorite judge pairing?
Well, I got to go Johnny Cash on this one. You know, the judge rolling into town. And that is a bit, I would have to go with a rack of lamb with the judge.
Rack o' lamb. Okay. Well, that's what we're having for Easter dinner. I may just have to give up my judge. I think you just sorted that out for me. Thank you for doing that, Mark.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
That's cool. And I would love to go fishing with you. We'll get that worked out.
Yeah, you know what? We'll make that happen.
I got to get my shots Easter Sunday, and then I'll start thinking about fly fishing.
Sounds good.
What's the website, Mark?
www.hestercreek.com.
Okay. And for fun, just look up /visit and /events. There's lots of things upcoming, and they're going to keep them going because Lori Pike's on the job. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Happy Easter to you.
Same to you, Terry. All the best.
And all of you out there, careful, be safe, wash your hands, get your shots, wear a mask, and have a memorable Easter weekend. Thank you to Corey Wood and Meg Mulligan from me. I'm going to get my shot right now. Bye. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. And since they've opened the new Crown and Thieves, it's been a glorious, sheer and utter madness. The success has seen them already sell out of four wines, The Scoundrel Punch, Chenin Blanc, Gewurztraminer, and Broken Wing Merlot. But luckily, the latest bottling run has replenished the stock with new vintages of Winemaker's Wench, Mr. Higginbotham Chardonnay, the new Little Nipper Pinot Gris, and the brand new Pinky Blinders Rosé. The wine club has been selling like crazy, and an obvious benefit is one active membership means you are a VIP at all of their locations. All the details at thehatchwines.com.